Welcome to episode 105 of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast. It's Tuesday the 4th of April 2017. Thanks for dialing us up, yo! My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast where we count down movies and sometimes television in order of awesomeness so you don't have to.
What are we doing today, Paul?
We have a review of a somewhat interesting slash a little controversial film called Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah, you heard of it? It's
Well, apparently most of you haven't because it didn't do that well its opening weekend.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
it's in a bit of trouble, and I don't think we're going to see too many more anime films or manga.
Well, yeah, converted like this, or at least not this in this series. There's heaps of the originals, but yeah.
Anyway, well, we'll get to that in due course. And then on the back of that, we thought, well, what's a nice thematically linked countdown? And we landed on top 10 US remakes that are better than their foreign originals.
Which is contentious, perhaps, to some folks.
Or, as we like to call it, the US did it better.
Yeah, US did it better. You know, there's probably myriad films that US didn't do better.
Yes.
But, you know, what worked? What worked is what we're doing here.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do.
And by the way, fucking difficult.
Yeah,
this was... really, really difficult list to do.
One of the more difficult lists to put together and arguably one of the worst lists I've ever compiled.
Oh, really?
Because
you just don't respect any of the movies.
There's not 10 films that US did better.
No, I know. I had to fill it up and get all, you know, this should be fun though.
With due apologies to our American listeners, no tarnishing of your industry. It's wonderful. Just please keep making your own films and stop remaking these foreign films.
Yeah, if you want to feel better about yourselves, check out some Australian TV. Okay.
Or the Australian film industry in some
cases. Yeah, in some cases. There's a few good ones.
Some Australian films are amazing. So, yeah. Right. All right. Well, that's that. But, before we get to the next part, which is normally the recount, we should advise our listeners that we're changing things up.
Yep. Instead of having the recount all up in the beginning like this, it's going to go towards the end of the show now. So apologies to all the olds who like to turn up the bass when, you know, the boom comes in. That'll come. It's just a little later on. I have been told. Listener Ash says to me, Paul nailed the mix of the bass on that fucking recount theme, man. He's like, who wants a recount? Turns it up, boom, at the drive-thru usually. It's, it's a thing.
All right, well, one person does then. Good on you, Ash.
It's a sample set. I'm sure there's lots.
All right, well, that's probably enough preamble for this week. It's been a pretty busy week in our lives, so let's get into this week's feature review. Ghost in the Shell, the 2017 remake of the 1995 anime, directed by Rupert Sanders, who did Snow White and the Seven Huntsmen or some shit.
Oh, really?
Like that.
Did you see that? Snow White and the Huntsmen?
That's the one.
Yeah.
I did, and I've instantly pretty much forgotten it.
Okay.
Screenplay by Jamie Moss, William Wheeler, and Aaron Kruger, who's responsible for a lot of average films as well as some decent ones in the past. And, of course, Scar Jo.
Mm-hmm.
As the main character.
It's pretty titular.
The major. Michael Pitt, Pilo Ashbach, and Juliette Binoche.
Yes, Juliette Binoche looking fan-fucking-tastic.
Which did make Wayne sit up and take notice.
I just couldn't believe it was her. I was like, good God, she looks amazing. She's got to be 60?
I don't know. Right in your wheelhouse.
I'm telling you. Oh, yeah, she's all my jam, man. I like my shit broken in.
And thus far, on a budget of approximately $110 million, it hasn't taken a lot. Let's just say that and leave it at that for the moment. Wayne, tell us, or give us, the plot synopsis.
In the near future, Major, who's Scarlett Johansson, is the first of her kind. She's like a human saved from a terrible crash, and then she got cyber-enhanced, and so does a lot of people in this world, to be a perfect soldier devoted to stopping the world's most dangerous criminals. So she's prepping to face this new enemy that can mess with people's minds, but on the way, she discovers that she's been lied to. Her life wasn't saved, it was stolen. So she's now, basically then, in the rest of the movie, kind of stopping at nothing to recover her past, to find out who did it to her and who she really is. And that's kind of an issue for me.
All right, straight into it.
Yeah. See, here's the thing about this movie. Now, I don't know if any of you have seen the original Ghost in the Shell. I didn't see a lot of manga or anime type stuff when I was a kid, but of the few, like Akira and all that, this was one of them, and I was real crazy impressed. And in fact, I skipped through it again before this cast just to have a good look at it again.
Oh, so you did watch it again?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was...
After we saw the film.
After we saw the film, yeah. Oh, just to
remind
myself.
And we should say, with thanks to Paramount Pictures for the Tickets to the Event screen.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Thanks, guys. I mean, you might not be too happy because we're about to rail it, but...
It's all right. It's not like they don't know, given our exit interview.
Well, yeah, I know. Yeah, on the way out of the cinema, the promo person or the publicist...
The person running it, yeah.
He runs up to Paul and is just like, so what did you think? And Paul's like all honest and shit. And he's like, what did you say? You're like, And she's like, that's all you're going to say? And you said, oh, the visuals were good. She's like, yeah, okay, I'll take that. What's your name? And I'm like, we're never getting invited back.
Yeah, well, that's the end of this. Our association with Paramount Pictures. Thanks, it was a great ride.
The thing about this movie was that the original one, right, is it actually amazing, especially for its time. And the big thing about it is it asks very pertinent questions. Basically, it presents what humanity means to you, as to us, as to the character, as to why. There's a lot of questions like that. Very theological type stuff going on.
Yeah, so what's it mean? Where is the soul?
Right, because in the cartoon, they implant people or personalities that were real into these android bodies, and that's the ghost, and the shell is the body. And that's what it's all about. And in that world, almost a lot of them in the police force are actually like that. They're mostly android. That's not the case with the movie. The movie, she's the only one, and everyone else just gets sort of cybernetic enhancements.
Yeah, so she's top of the line.
But she's top of the line.
She's the next phase of this, so to speak, evolution.
Precisely. She's almost all robot. The problem with this show is that, unfortunately, the first thing is, the visual execution honors the aesthetic of the original really, really faithfully. It's really, they took special pains with that, and...
Well, they recreated shots from what I...
Recreated shots, and wonderfully so. Like, I looked at the side-by-sides and everything, and they're great. So, that's cool. Unfortunately, it still ultimately fails, because the movie, which is about the soul and everything, ironically doesn't have much soul. It doesn't kind of mean anything. And they've changed the plot to make it less about, asking you a question about your humanity to this character and her particular plight. And it doesn't mean as much. So ultimately, you don't really care that much.
You're precisely right. I think that where the film falls down is in its characters. And even in the case of Major.
Yeah. I know.
I didn't feel connected to her.
That's right. I
certainly didn't give a shit
her.
About anybody else in the film.
The other guy, the dude with the eyes, he's supposed to, in the cartoon, he's really cool and stuff like that and saves her quite a few times. And it's not quite the same thing here. And also, he was mostly human. So he hasn't got the same, he isn't on her team kind of thing.
On her wavelength.
Yeah, where they're both, there's conversations in the original where they're both talking about how, we can drink alcohol and our body, compounds the alcohol, and it's only, what does it mean if you're being a human? And they can't do that here because he doesn't know what she knows.
We are probably falling into the trap a little bit of comparing the remake to the original.
I understand. I should mention very, very, this is an important thing as well. I don't mind it when a remake diverts completely from the original. I don't mind that at all. I tend to like that. It just needs to be done really well. And I've seen heaps of remakes where it's like, oh, this is nothing like the original, but it's awesome. Like, freaking Marvel Civil War is nothing like the comic, but it's fucking awesome. So, that's all fine with me. It just doesn't work here.
Yeah. I just think it's important that we acknowledge the film as on its own at the same time as saying, how does it compare to the original? Fine. It's not as good in your opinion. I don't remember enough of it to really talk about it that
way. Even if I didn't know the original so well, this movie still made me kind of look at my watch a bit towards the end.
Yeah, look, there's no question. It loses pace.
Yeah.
The back end of the second act drags immeasurably.
That's the problem, right?
That's a problem. As I said, you don't really give two shits about the characters. She's part of this team.
Yeah.
This special forces unit, which are, as you said, protecting against the worst sort of crimes. And I didn't mention in the cast list, they're run by Beat Takashi. So the famous Japanese actor.
Is that actually him?
Yeah.
He was Sato or whatever the...
I can't remember his name.
Yeah, the
yes.
guy, the captain or whatever.
Yeah.
That was Beat Takashi.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I didn't know that. No wonder he looks so cool with that weird sweeping haircut.
And he's not really, doesn't do a lot in the first two acts. He does, by the end of the film, come to be pretty damn cool.
There was one badass scene involving him, no doubt.
The whole time I was like, why has he agreed to come to this apart from lending some Japanese street cred.
Absolutely. And by the way, that doesn't happen in the original, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah. So
that was it. That was a ridiculous but cool scene.
Nope. It actually probably was definitely one of the best scenes for me. It's one of the things I remember about it.
The first act, really, I thought it was visually, as you've mentioned, stunning and arresting. Mm. It's a very busy film. There's a lot going on.
That is a really good point.
Yeah. And you can see where the $110 million went, because every shot in that first act is just enhanced with so many different
small composite
CGI elements.
But you can't take it. It might be working a little bit against itself. Mm. There might be too much to look at, and then you don't get the whole thing.
Yeah.
There's that bit going on. But I still loved how it looked.
And it feels like it owes a little bit of debt to Ridley Scott's
Blade Runner. What it is basically the Blade Runner now kind of look, but it's, again, because it doesn't mean anything, it ain't Blade Runner. So, I don't know.
Which incidentally asks a lot of the same questions, Blade Runner. So,
but Blade Runner does it, I don't know, Blade Runner's got a whole different tone, a whole different,
get me wrong, I'm not saying this is a better film. Blade Runner,
exactly.
Or comparative in any sense, other than thematically and the look in some places.
Well, that's it. And then this movie unwinds nowhere in particular for me. It doesn't, there's no
point. By the end, you're like, meh.
Yeah, you just don't give a shit. So,
which I feel like it's harsh. I enjoyed it, like I was hoping it was going to be
better.
No,
I've seen worse movies this year.
It felt like this was a couple of steps away from being great. Like it built, like that was a letdown.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I feel like it needs more points because it was visually it was executed so well. So I can't just say this whole thing is a miserable piece of shit and you shouldn't watch it. It's all right, but it just wasn't impressive.
It's not going to do that well. I honestly believe this will sort of just be something everybody forgets about within 6 or 7 months, and we'll get to the end of the year and someone will say, did you see Ghost in the Shell? I'll be like, what?
Yeah, actually even when I was kind of, as I was watching it, I was forgetting parts of it. I don't know. I was going, yeah, okay. You know, so I don't know. What do you think it's anything more?
I should also add that we did see it in 3D. That was the screening.
And it wasn't bad.
Again, I thought the first opening scene,
the 3D was
some
good.
Of the stuff leapt off the screen.
And I typically don't like 3D.
Quite nicely in depth. And yeah, I was a massive 3D fan early on. And it's burnt me out. I'm over it. I think the darkness of, or the darkening of the color palette really works against it. In this film, it was okay. By halfway through the film, they just don't bother anymore.
Yeah,
it's like they shot their wad very early on with all the 3D of
ran
the
out a bit of money and
just went after that. We'll give it a little bit of depth and nothing else.
We assume it was not shot in 3D, right?
I'm not sure. I actually did a little bit of digging and couldn't find the definitive answer. So if someone out there does know, please let us know on Twitter or on our Facebook page.
There you are.
Look, I'm going to end where I started, which is by saying what I said to the publicist outside the cinema. It's a middling film. Unless you're a raving fanatic of the original, I can't see how you would hate the movie.
I think if you're a raving fanatic of the original, you won't like this movie.
That's what I'm saying. Unless you are that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to be like, it was okay.
Yeah, it'll be fine for whatever, an afternoon viewing. It's probably something for Netflix one day or something. It's like
do you
that.
Need to see it on the big screen? Well, I would say the first half hour, yeah.
Yeah, I actually think, it would be good in the cinema if you could swing it. Even the 3D is good, it just falls away a bit.
Yeah, it does. And the final sort of action beats and the way it all comes together is very predictable. And the last action scene is very, very disappointing.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah, it just, like I said, by then you'd stopped kind of giving a shit.
Which might be part of it.
Yeah. So
it sounds like we're in pretty much lockstep agreement in terms of what we think of the film. Therefore, we come down to subjective ratings of it, and then we'll have a quick look at Rotten Tomatoes and see what the early critic reviews and the like are saying.
Okay.
So give us your score.
My score is 60%.
I'm going to go right there with you then. We are
really?
61, I'm going.
Paul gave it higher than me.
That's right.
Something's up here, man.
Negatron is dead. Long live Negatron.
No, I'm not Negatron. Fuck you. Oh, shit. All right. Wow.
All right, then. Well, let's go over to the Rotten Tomato, Metacritic, and IMDb scores just to see how closely they agree or disagree with us.
Okay, I'll start with a Metacritic score. On Metacritic, we have a 53 out of 100.
Okay, so it's just passing there, close to us.
Yes, okay, well, all right.
Rotten Tomatoes, which obviously works by a different factor. It's certified rotten. It's at 42%.
Really?
Yeah. The IMDb score from 14,000 plus votes currently stands at 6.9 out of 10.
Oh, we know IMDb. But
so we're somewhere in the middle at the moment, and we're obviously a bit more generous than the average.
Wow, people really don't like this.
Can I say one more thing about the film? What did you think of the ScarJo element? Was she being sexualized, or were they taking pains not to?
Oh, no, she was being sexualized insofar as they could. So, for example, in the beginning, there's the famous scene that they copied from the cartoon is that she's on the top of a roof and then she takes off her jacket in the cartoon. She's completely naked. And then she jumps into the building and shoots everyone up. In the movie, they made her wear this bodysuit, which made it look very form-fitting, but she was not, in fact, naked.
Yeah.
So I think that shot had to happen one way or the other, and they definitely didn't make her naked, so there you go. But as for the rest of it...
Well, they really dressed her down. Like, they really took pains to put her in baggy clothing or whatever. And there's one scene where she gets... strips.
Yeah.
And she's facing, obviously, away from the camera, and it cuts just as it gets down to her zipping something down, like a jumpsuit down the back.
Yeah, but...
So to me, it almost felt like they were compensating for that.
The android had to be kind of sexy, though. That was the whole point of the aesthetic of the actual movie. So that's one thing. I guess they could have gone further in the sexualization direction with it, and they probably did hold back. I don't know if that was for a rating or for what.
Well, I guess my point is, I think some people are against this film because, oh, it's just ScarJo, she's hot. Yeah, it wasn't.
No. That was like the third thing about it. It's more that she's skillful. It's more that she's, you know, an android. And then, you know, there's lots of other bits where you see her in pieces kind of. And, you know, there's the bit at the beginning where they're sort of showing the milky kind of emerging from a pool.
Yeah.
Which sounds, looks like Westworld. Looks a lot like Westworld.
That's true. I didn't connect that. You're right.
So.
And the CG really does stand out. And there are parts where they're showing how she's an android. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, they take a piece of her face off and that kind of thing.
Which is definitely not sexualizing.
And they're reconstructing like her torso, but not in a, again, not, it's kind of gross.
You're seeing ghosts and stuff.
Honest.
Exactly. Yeah. No, you're right. Actually, now that you mention it, probably not. So, they certainly could have gone further with it, and they didn't.
All right. Cool. Just wanted to touch on that as it feels like it is an element which people have been talking about.
I see.
All right. That's our feature review for this episode of The Countdown. As mentioned, we are using it as a launching pad for this week's top 10 films the US did better.
Yeah. Foreign films.
On the other side of this promo break.
Do you have a movie, TV show, food, comic, video game, sport, activity, book, band, drink, or even podcast that you love but no one else seems to? Are you constantly defending your love of Superman Returns, Bloodsport, Miley Cyrus, Pizza Pockets, Nicholas Sparks, Comic-Cons, Disney, M. Night Shyamalan, the DC Extended Universe, or Power Rangers? Do you feel alone? You're not. Here at Quote Unquote Guilty, we talk about all so-called guilty pleasures and the people who hold them dear. It's time to come out of the shadows, friends, and wear your guilty pleasures like a badge of honor. So come check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud right now. We are Quote Unquote Guilty, a proud member of the Word Salad Network and the hashtag Potter and Family community, and we're ready to believe you.
The Epic Film Guys podcast is a film comedy podcast with two best friends celebrating everything we love about going to the movies. We've got great beer, amazing guests, and quirky characters unlike anything you've ever heard before.
Well, I just assumed you were drinking that chocolate stout that you were going to make with the cheapest crap chocolate ice cream in a Miller Lite. I remember being a young man and my mother telling me I didn't have a name because I was illegitimate. I don't know what that word means.
Subscribe to the Epic Film Guys on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, or your favorite podcast app. And we'll see you at the movies.
We are going to count down the top 10 U.S. did it better, yo, films. We may mess with the title a little bit, but basically these are foreign films remade in the U.S., and here's our top 10 of those.
Right.
And there's far fewer than you may think out there, listeners.
Yeah, it was a tough list, as we said at the top of the show. What were your criteria then, apart from it was a U.S. remade film? How did you go about this?
This is a tough one because a foreign movie is basically any movie made outside of the U.S., which they then adapted and made in the U.S.
I tried to exploit that looking for a British film that they'd made. Couldn't find many.
I found one.
Okay, well done.
Yeah, but it was tough as well because I'm like, this is British. Definitely still outside. Yes, and in today's day and age, like, you know, there's a lot of other sort of like, you know, if a movie's made in a certain country but is financed externally, is that really a U.S. film? I didn't really know. I didn't get too far into that, to be honest with you.
No, look, I think if it's a country of origin says this and had some U.S. money behind it, who cares?
Yeah, that'll do. U.S. studio, I'm in. So you had some trouble?
Definitely did. Definitely. Right. Like, this is, as I said, perhaps one of the worst lists I've put together in 105. So you get to have a bit of a laugh at home with us listeners as to whether you agree or disagree. And
yeah, I don't know how this one is going
to
go. We'll
absolutely be happy to be chopped up regarding our choices.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, totally.
Sometimes I feel like my list is awesome and you can all go and eat a dick. And other times like this, I think, yep, wide open and asking to be rammed one.
Yep. Well, with that in mind, why don't you go first?
All right, I'll lead away then. And, well, given everything we just said, this is going to land with a big fat thump of shitness. My number 10 best US did it better film is Ghost in the Shell.
What the fuck? Really? After we just reamed it.
Well, I didn't ream it. We gave it 60. I'm saying that my number 10 on this list is worth 60. 61 in my
damn
case.
Damn.
Yeah. All right. It's not a good list, I have to say. Not a good list.
Okay, then I can't wait to see what other shit you've come up with.
All right.
That's going to be fantastic. All right, good. Well, my number 10, I'm definitely going to get some heat for because I may be the only person who prefers the US remake to its original. And this movie is The Vanishing.
What are you, a fucking moron?
Don't think I didn't see you queuing that up as I was talking, motherfucker.
You set me up for it, and I totally stand by that. By the way, the soundboard is back. We have had no reason to use it till today. The unofficial
we're just being classy about it.
Third member of the countdown is going to have a lot to say, I have a feeling, about Wayne's list.
Fuck that guy. Okay. The Vanishing. So, yes, it's contentious.
What the fuck? Seriously.
Okay, so check it out, right? So, it was made from this movie called Spurlos, or literally Traceless, without a trace. It's a French-Dutch film, which is basically about a chick that gets kidnapped. I'm going to spoil this one in case anyone's seen it, but... Or am I going
the
to,
remake is 1993, something like that. The original film was 1988, somewhere in that. So if you haven't seen this film yet, suck it.
Yeah. Okay, so basically the whole thing about the Dutch one is that it's about this woman that gets kidnapped and the dude, who the boyfriend, he can't let it go. He hunts down whoever the kidnapped her, finds him.
Well, she disappears.
Sorry, she disappears.
And years on, he's still searching for her.
That's right, and he finally gets there. And, well, I won't spoil it, but at the end it's really quite harrowing, okay? Now, the U.S. remake, the U.S. remake has Jeff Bridges, Kiefer Sutherland, and the chick from that TV show, Almost Perfect.
Really?
Yeah, Nancy Travis is her name.
Oh, okay. Jeez, I didn't remember that.
Yeah. Also, Sandra Bullock was the original girl that went missing.
Yes.
So, I like this one better. People did not like it much better. In fact, it tanked when it came out. It cost $23 million. It made $14 million back.
Good reason for that.
Well, the thing is, the US one kind of bitches out at the end. And it gives you... It completely bitches... It stops... Well, it just... But here's the thing. Jeff Bridges, man. I remember watching the movie and being way more into it than the time I saw the original in English class. You know what I mean?
Well, there's your answer.
Yeah, possibly. And I guess I wasn't as into the foreign films back then like I am now. But I actually still had a much better time in the remake one. And I liked the happy ending. So there.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people are going to freak out on this one. So yeah, The Vanishing. It's I still see it.
That's awful.
Blump.
Awful, awful, blump, awful. Blump, blump. Almost as awful as my number 9.
Mm.
Actually, my number 9 is absolutely fine, given that the American remake is directed by the same director, Michael Haneke.
Okay.
From 2007. It's Funny Games.
What's that?
Naomi Watts and Tim Roth. And the film is virtually shot-for-shot remake of the original, but made in English language. So... obviously, the original is better, but...
Wait.
But it's basically the same film. So, it's not better. It's just... There's no reason for this one other than let's do a cash grab in the States. And they brought the original auteur on board to direct it. So, maybe it was a slightly bigger budget, not just in terms of cast. It was shot slightly better. The effects were slightly better. I like both films. I just thought this was kind of needless, but...
But this one had to be better than the original.
It's better.
In order to be on your list.
If you want to technically look at the film side by side, it's better.
Oh, look at this motherfucker luring his way out now.
But it's needless. So that's why it's contentious that it's on my list.
Look, because this list is so difficult, I'm going to let you have this one.
And basically the film is about two young men break into the home of Naomi Watts and Tim Roth and their son and proceed to terrorize them. Torment them, and for no reason. Like,
I think you told me about this movie.
It breaks all kinds of walls. There's a scene in the film where Naomi Watts manages to get the gun away from one of her captors, shoots him in the chest, and blows him away before the other one disarms her. And then he goes, no, 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 that's not good enough. That's not going to happen. And he grabs the remote control off and hits rewind. And the film rewinds. And then
they
don't kill the kid anymore.
Is this okay? It sounds like that shouldn't work.
It's all a comment on viewers watching violence and not getting involved and being judgmental. And so it's critiquing that and playing with your expectations. So you get outraged like, no, 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 come on. So
but if you like it, then it must be kind of...
I did like the film.
Okay,
I think bold and nothing else like it exists.
What's closest it called again? Thing, Funny Games.
Funny Games. The closest thing is The Strangers with Liv Tyler and Scott Speedman.
Yeah.
But even that doesn't go to the places this place goes.
Okay. Yeah, maybe I'll check it out. All right. Very good. My number 9 is a movie I watched mere 2 hours ago.
Oh.
Yeah. The movie...
Sliding in late.
I've never seen this one. It's Insomnia.
Oh, you never saw Christopher Nolan's Insomnia?
I actually didn't know it was Christopher Nolan, and I kind of thought it was a Robin Williams movie, which he's in it. But
of course he is, and Al Pacino.
Yeah, and I actually didn't know anything about this movie other than it was Christopher Nolan, and I should have gotten to it. Now, the reason it's number 9 is that even though it's Christopher Nolan, and even though it's great, and it's a really good movie, and whatever, it just wasn't a patch on all of his other movies. This is actually...
Interstellar?
But at least Interstellar, meant something. I don't know, it was I didn't like Interstellar, don't get me wrong. Okay. But it was about some cosmic shit and there was answers and stuff.
Wait, so you didn't like Interstellar, but this is his worst film?
I kind of think so. No, ooh. I don't know, man. But look, the whole point of this one is it's basically a procedural thriller, like a crime cop murder story thriller. But there's a bit more in it because it's Christopher Nolan.
Because it's Alaska and there's no sun.
That's right, it's white nights and sort of, it's actually insomnia plays throughout the whole movie. And it's really cool and atmospheric and all that sort of stuff. I didn't think it was among the, it ain't no Dark Knight. It isn't even a Memento. It's a cuts below.
How dare you compare this film to Memento?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's his stuff, right? So that's what I'm saying. It's among the worst that he's done, but it's still a good movie because it's Christopher Nolan. So I'm digging that. It was a remake of a movie called also Insomnia, which is like a Scandi movie, I believe. I could tell you the guy's name. I can't read it. Yeah. So, yes, but you saw it, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. A long time ago. And I did consider it for my list, but I couldn't remember it well enough to really justify it.
Okay, yeah.
I do remember being a little bit nonplussed by the ending.
I think what it was is that it really kept me interested all the way through. Okay. Towards the end, it sort of dragged a bit, and that's why I didn't like it. So, anyway. Insomnia.
Yeah. All right. Nice choice. Can't argue with that one. My number 8 is another controversial choice.
Oh,
and the reason it's so low, because I think a lot of people would go, regular listeners would go, I know what Paul's number 1 is going to be.
What? Oh.
This film. And here's why it's not.
All right.
Because it's never been officially acknowledged as a remake. It's unofficially Everybody Knows.
Are you going to say
Reservoir Dogs?
So it is on your list. Now, yes. I didn't know what you were talking, what you just said, until I was researching this list. Mm-hmm. And then it turns out, this movie is unofficially a remake of a movie, but it isn't.
City on Fire, starring Chow Yun-fat, I believe a film made in Hong Kong, but
really?
Don't quote me on that, yes.
And how similar is it?
Extraordinarily.
So a dude's walking around in suits and stuff?
Yeah, I think so, from memory. I did watch City on Fire about 15 years ago, so...
Wouldn't they have sued him then?
There are so many plot beats that are so similar, it's frightening. It doesn't, really? From recollection, vague recollection, doesn't end the same way. Happy to be corrected on that.
Okay.
But Tarantino nor the producers have ever said this is a remake, and so it's contentious to be on this list. I totally get it. Mm. It's fucking way better than City on Fire.
Right?
Way is it? Better.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So it fits the brief there, but otherwise, if it was acknowledged, it would be my number 1.
Really?
Without question.
Oh. Well, okay, again, contentious list, but contentious choice, so yeah, that's so fine.
Entertaining. And a few listeners did weigh in with Reservoir Dogs mentioning it, but because it's not marketed / acknowledged that way, you have to have dug a little bit to know.
I'm amazed that they got away with that then. Because if this stuff happens Hollywood time, everyone freaks out.
You do wonder. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, okay, very impressed there, Quentin. My number 8 is a bit of a Nancy movie. It's Scent of a Woman.
No, I considered it.
Because Al Pacino and Chris O'Donnell or whatever. Yep. And I
French
remember,
film.
I believe it was. The movie was called Profumo di Donna. Good. And
or was that Italian?
It sounds Italian. It sounds very Italian.
Maybe just the way you said it. No, yeah. I'm sure you're right.
No, you're right. It is an Italian movie. Yeah, there you go. But this movie, when it came out, I remember thinking to myself, why would I see this movie? Mm. Why would I go see the blind dude romantic comedy, whatever this, that? Turns out it's way more than that. He's not only a blind dude, but a vet who can cap people and do stuff, as well as, being this gruff dude who stands up for the kid. I don't know. I really liked the movie.
And it does have the immortal line of dialogue.
What is that one? Hoo-ah! That one?
You've got your head.
No. That's Heat.
Oh, is it? Shit.
Yeah, Al Pacino did do that in Heat, though. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to cut it in there, too.
Are you shitting me? You just wanted to put it in there? Oh, well. Well, feel free.
And you got your head all the way up.
Yeah, see, in that's Heat. From Heat. Yeah, because Al Pacino was there getting interrogated. Sorry, interrogating Hank Azaria. And he was like,
why'd I get mixed up with that bitch?
Because she got a great ass. And you got your head all the way up it.
Why'd I get mixed up with that bitch? And Al Pacino's like, because she got a great ass. And you got your head all the way up it. So that's, yeah, it wasn't this movie. He wouldn't have swung at this movie.
It was worth it just for that.
But anyway, everyone knows Sin of the Woman, so that's my number 8.
Yeah. Long story short, why didn't I make my list?
This sort of thing ain't my bag, baby.
Oh, fuck.
Thank you, Austin Powers. Thank you, Soundboard.
I'll get used to this, I'm sure.
All right, my number 7, there's no contention about it other than most people would say it was disappointing and wouldn't make their list. It's the second remake of the original Japanese property. It's Gareth Edwards' Godzilla from 2014.
Really? Yeah. Wait. Which Godzilla is the good one? 2014? Is this Matthew Broderick, you're telling me?
No. That's Roland Emmerich's 1998 master shit.
How many fucking Godzillas? Wait, which one are you which one are you referring
the
to?
The one that was just on with Bryan Cranston and Aaron Taylor.
Oh, I never saw that one.
That dude. You haven't seen it?
I don't think I did.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was good?
Yes.
Really?
It's very good.
Wow.
I just assumed
it was going to be
shit. Pretty good.
Pretty good? No, pretty good. Well, give me a score.
I'd stay around the 3-star mark.
So what's that, 60-ish?
60-ish. Okay. A little higher, 65, 66.
From now, what's about a 75?
Upcoming returning co-host Alejandro did not enjoy this film.
Ah,
so there you go.
I believe that's where I may have heard it was a turd.
Yeah.
I see.
I had no problems with it insofar as it's a big disaster film. It, for mine, manages to maintain its interest through until Godzilla finally starts being shown in all his glory in the final act.
Did this come out recently, this movie?
2014.
Oh. Shit.
But there is a plot development at the end of the first act that does hamstring the film a little bit. I won't spoil it because it's only 3 years old.
Uh-huh. And okay, no, yeah. I get that.
So check it out. See what you think.
All right.
It's certainly not Godfather Part 2 on the list.
Fuck off. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, motherfucker. All right. This week.
Listen on, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure one day Wayne will report back.
Wait a minute. Has your ass seen La La Land?
I'm still waiting
for
it to come out.
Yeah, bitch!
It's not out to watch. I can't see it anywhere yet. It's off the movies. Right.
What about Sing
Flaps? It's not been released.
What about Sing Flaps?
Yes, that was on Netflix and now it's not.
Oh, so convenient.
I've got to find it, yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool.
So yeah, I know that I'm on the hook for that too. That's my number 7, Godzilla.
Well, my number 7 is Vanilla Sky.
Oh, God.
I liked this movie, although to be, like, admittedly, I have only seen it once.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but Cam Crow, you know I like Tea to the Sea. It's based on a movie called Abre los Ojos, which I believe is a foreign movie. I'm not quite sure where it's from. Spain. Hey. It's from Spain. It could have been Brazil. No, it couldn't have.
Yeah, it could have been. It could be any
Spanish-speaking
country.
I'm just guessing, you know what I'm saying?
But it's not. It's from Spain.
Yes, which I believe actually means open your eyes or something. Right?
Which makes perfect sense why it's called Vanilla Sky. Because it's boring as fuck.
No. I was all in for this movie because I love Cameron Crowe. And yes, he makes missteps, but I still dug this one.
And what happens at the end? Can you explain anything to anyone?
Yes. At the end, as I recall, he was in fact, I mean, it was all a dream. And he's like, tech support. And they wake him up and they say, whatever. And the guy comes into his whatever consciousness and says, it is now the future. The fortune you put away when you went into cryostasis was, you know, fucking like, enough, but not great amount in this current climate. And so what do you want to do? You can stay in this, like, you know, mental state where everything's bliss, or you can wake up and we can fix your face. And then Tom Cruise goes, fix my face. I want to live a real life. And that's the end of the movie, man. What did you think was the end?
I don't know. I don't remember. Well, I just remember going, that was confusing as all buggery.
Yeah, look, the first part of the movie is beautiful right before the bad accident and the dude's face. But it's quite a brave choice for, like, pretty boy Tom Cruise.
Not sure how beautiful it is when we talk about Penelope Cruz being in the film.
Now, what are you saying?
Light.
Really?
Well, Penelope Cruz is way less hot than...
Oh, yeah. No, I don't rate her at all. Sorry, I didn't know what you were getting at there.
Okay, no, you just said it's beautiful. I'm like, well, there's Penelope Cruz.
Yeah. No, good point. He was more better looking than her. So, I get it.
What a shock that you would say that.
Predictable, perhaps. But yes, Vanilla Sky. I dug it, people. I dug it. I don't know.
Well, all right. Nothing more to add there.
Yeah, no sound effect for that, fucko.
No, don't let that one slide. My number six is a film from Matt Reeves.
Oh.
The man who directed Cloverfield.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes. I think so.
And then the Dawn of the Planet, was it Rise of the Planet of the Apes?
Yeah.
And has now come out with War of the Planet of the Apes. And is about Batman. To do, that's correct, the next Batman film.
What's his film?
It's Let Me In.
Ah.
From 2010, the remake of Let the Right One In.
Which is the only one of these foreign horror movies I've actually seen. That's right, with
at
Paul.
My house, that's right. Yes. With a few of us.
Which
there.
I thought it was really cool. It was a
very
great.
Good first film. Did it do it better? Yeah, probably might be stretching the list here.
Really?
It's a very good film, don't get me wrong. Just don't really know what it added.
But is it as good? Did you have as good a time? Was it?
No, because I knew what was going to happen.
Okay. Any chance you could appreciate how you would have felt if you didn't know?
Well, look, it's got a young Chloe Grace Moretz in
it. Yeah,
very good as the vampire of the piece. And Cody Spit McPhee is the young boy who becomes attracted to him. Richard Jenkins and Elias Koteas round out the cast.
Let me ask you something. Is the pool scene in it?
From recollection?
And the bit where the arm just falls into the pool?
Yeah. Look, it's,
so it's much
it
the same.
Pretty much all the same plot beats. And Matt Reeves is not one to shy away from violence if violence is necessitated or at least suggested for a film. So it's a good remake.
All right.
You hadn't seen the original, you would definitely have enjoyed this film. It pops up on a lot of people's best of lists.
Okay.
So.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. Good to know.
By the way, the film is about a bullied young boy who befriends a young female vampire and how their lives change.
But it's handled well.
Yeah.
Very cool. Okay, my number six is an old fave of mine. I actually reckon you've never seen this movie, Paul, even though it's a very popular movie. It's Down and Out in Beverly Hills.
I did see it, but so long ago I have no recollection other than Nick Nolte plays a bum.
He does. Nick Nolte, Bette Midler, Richard Dreyfuss, a few other folks. But essentially, it's based on a 1986 comedy called Boudou Savé de Il or something. I think it means...
You keep doing the original language, and I'm just like, this is what it's called in English.
I think it's... Yeah, I'm guessing it's French. Anyway, it's about a bum in Beverly Hills and basically his encounter with his rich family and so on. But it is got a lot of Talking Heads music in it, and it's very cool and very set... You know, I don't know. It feels good. The movie itself, it was fine for its time, and it has kind of an odd ending if you think about it now. But I actually really loved it, just probably from nostalgia. But it's set in LA. It's sunny. It's nice. It's good. That's not the whole thing. But
a bit of sun in your film, and Wayne is guaranteed to enjoy
it. More or less. It's a good tale. Good tale.
Okay, then. My number five is also a very old film. In fact, the oldest film on my list. It is a remake of Kurosawa's The Seven Samurai.
Wait, which Magnificent Seven?
The Magnificent Seven.
Which one?
From 1960, directed by John Sturges.
Lucky. I thought you were going to throw some fucking...
I did seriously fucking
consider
it.
Yeah, I bet you would. Antoine Fuqua.
How will Wayne react if I put Antoine Fuqua?
I would freak the fuck out. You should have put it on.
You've seen it. Everyone's seen it. Come on.
Yul Brynner,
Eli Wallach, Steve McQueen, Charles Bronson, so on and so forth.
This is one of the few of these types of movies, like the spaghetti westerns, not really, but that I remember as watching as a kid with my dad kind of thing. So yeah, I totally get it.
And probably through the 80s and our youth, it was on TV a lot.
Was it ever? So, always at the matinee.
Yeah, the matinee. 2-3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon, you can pretty much guarantee that.
That's right. And no internet back then. You probably would have watched the damn thing.
No, that's the only way you could watch things back in those days. Great film, very entertaining. Surprising Who Lives and Who Dies to some degree, although of course the remake did retcon some of that or change some of that up.
Okay,
so yeah,
nice.
Did it do it better? Ooh, that's probably not.
No, motherfucker, it did not do it better. It's a piece of shit.
No. I'm saying this one didn't do it better than The Seven Samurai. Seven Samurai is
classic. But that's a whole different thing.
It created
thing with it.
So many different technical aspects of cinema as we know it
especially
today.
Especially the cutting the woman's head off thing. That shit shocked the hell out of me when I saw it. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, so, but it's a very good remake and therefore I had to put it on my
totally,
list.
Totally. This is fine. All right, well, my number five is my token British film, which has technically been remade in the States.
Okay.
And it's The Italian Job.
Yeah. Okay.
Really? I thought you figured out. Yeah. I actually like this one way more than the Michael Caine one, even though the Michael Caine one was a whole different thing because it's like, you know.
I was about to break into a Michael Caine impersonation and then caught myself.
Masterproof. Yes. No, shit. I don't know. This one was they were supposed to do another one called The Brazilian Job, but I guess that never got made. But I liked all of this.
Sucked.
No, this one was good, man. man, surely this one sucked. This was an oddly good movie, I thought. It had Edward Norton in it, man.
So wait, because Edward Norton's in it, it's a good film?
Well, more or less. I mean, it helps, doesn't it? American History.
What are you, a fucking moron?
Fuck off. Paul likes that shit way too much, everyone.
Soundboard agrees with me.
Soundboard can eat a dick, too. Yes, but no, I stand by it. I loved all that shit. Even the Charlize Theronness.
She's great.
She is great. But there's a lot of moving parts to this shit. Hmm. Yeah, most deaf up in here, man. Most deaf in the hills. Not that that necessarily means anything, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I thought it was such a misfire of a film.
What? Even when they blew up the road to drop the big thing, and then she cracks the safe, and then everyone gets gold, and then there's like a post-credit. This is fucking great. This is a ton of fun, this movie.
To re-rate the British film, absolutely fine. To make it the Italian Job, at this high on the list, at number 5?
No, I enjoyed it more than the others.
This sort of thing ain't my bag, baby.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Paul's like trying to cover himself by filling in time while he reaches for the fucking mouse. There's this whole lag I have to contend with.
Don't let people peek too far behind the curtains. We're moving on.
All right, you're moving on.
All right, I wonder now. I think 3 of our top 4 are going to be the same.
You would think, because, you know, shit.
The fourth one won't be, and it's not this one. So, how high is this one on your list? And you can weigh in with what the French title was originally. It's based on a short film, a 28-minute film, as then adapted by Terry Gilliam. It is 12 Monkeys.
Totally mine as well.
Your number 4?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay, so what was the French short film called?
The French movie was called Ya Jete. And
that'll do.
Yeah. Or, I don't know, Le GT. It could be that too. And no, I agree with you. This is the shit. We talked about it last week, so I won't crap on about it.
You talked about it a lot last weekend. But good choice.
Digging this whole film. And in fact, still dig it now.
So Bruce Willis sent back in time to prevent the virus that destroys humanity.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. There's a TV show about it now, which apparently is of mixed quality.
Ah, I've heard of this, yes.
Yeah, I watched the first couple of episodes and went, eh.
Yeah, bored. Not for you?
I'm bored.
Okay. So is it much the same kind of thing?
Yeah, they're aiming for it, but without the crazy Terry Gilliam-ness.
Yeah, okay. See, it needs that.
Arguably.
The asylum and all that. Yeah.
Most elements are in it from the, well, at least early on the two episodes that I saw. But it lacks that crazy aesthetic, which Gilliam kind of brings. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
All right, so 12 Monkeys for both of us at number 4.
Yeah, so we're back to you at number 3.
My number 3 is also one that will definitely be on your list.
Hmm.
Jeff from Cadaver Cast called us out and said, this will be near our number 1. Well, he was right.
What?
He said he'd be shocked if it wasn't. It is based on Infernal Affairs from 2002.
Oh, yeah.
It is Martin Scorsese's The Departed.
This is your number 3, eh?
Yeah, so it's a bit higher on yours.
Totally my number 2.
Okay, that's pretty close. Can't get too jacked at each other for that.
Man, The Departed was so good, right? I didn't see Infernal Affairs until later afterwards. And then I saw The Departed. Couldn't believe how awesome it was. Didn't even feel like a Marty Scorsese kind of movie to me.
And yet he won Best Director.
Yeah,
and
I know. It's as little like his style as I've seen.
What's the most commercial of his films?
You could say so, except for all the shit that happens towards the end. That's what made it for me. This movie was awesome all the way through.
Mm.
And then when what happens at the end happens, I was like, fuck, this is totally not how I would expect everything to go down.
And I know we talk about it a lot, so we probably don't need to go too much detail, but just listen to the cast that Scorsese assembled. Leonardo DiCaprio, Matt Damon, Jack Nicholson, Mark Wahlberg, Martin Sheen, Ray Winston, Vera Farmiga, Anthony Anderson, and Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin, man! He was awesome! Going out for a smoke. You smoke? You don't smoke? Yeah, you probably helped that, aren't you? Go fuck yourself. just beautiful, beautiful stuff.
Very entertaining film. Yes, I think it's better than Infernal Affairs for sure, though.
Yeah,
it has been a long time since I've seen Infernal Affairs. So.
It is because it's The Departed.
Yeah, and Scorsese.
Infernal Affairs is great too.
That acting ensemble.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Jack Nicholson, man.
Okay, so what is then your number 3?
My number 3 is a little bit of a cheat. The movie is Dangerous Liaisons.
Why is that a cheat?
Because the thing that it was adapted from was a foreign piece, but the piece was it was filmed, but it was a film of a play. So it's a little bit not quite a remade film. It's more like a remade.
The play was American than the foreign.
No, the play was actually called, what was it called? Les Liaisons.
So it wasn't a film first. It was a play first.
Yeah. So, but then they did remake that. Yeah. Okay. So, but this movie is, kind of a classic.
Any other list, I'd shit on you. This list is like, yeah, you got to let some go through the keeper.
Exactly. You just can't be close. Glenn Close, John Malkovich, Michelle Pfeiffer, Keanu Reeves, Uma Thurman, lots of folks in this one, but I think I was taken in at a young age by all the fucking cool sword fighting type, slapping people with a glove type shit, but also lots and lots of, like, there's quite a few titties involved as well. So the whole thing made a big impression.
Makes the world go around.
I think, you know, and but also, I mean, yeah, I don't know, I always loved this movie. Even the Keanu Reeves not acting shitness didn't ruin it for me. John Malkovich is awesome.
I don't know if I've seen this whole film.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, see, this is one of those things that got remade.
Seen it on TV.
Yeah.
And then Cruel Intentions?
Cruel Intentions was a remake of this. Or the other, whatever. This is one of these movies, yeah. Cruel Intentions I probably liked better. But that one was a remake of Dangerous Liaisons, whereas this one was a remake of the actual whatever.
Okay.
I mean, you probably could have crowbarred it in, but what do you want? Yes.
On this list.
On this list.
Well, my number two. No,
yeah,
no,
could have been, could have been. Anyway, yeah. Dangerous Liaisons. Big fan.
Okay. My number two won't appear on your list because it's a horror film.
Mm-hmm.
It's, impressively, only the second horror film on my list, given that horrors are the most likely film to be remade because they're cheap and they're easy to make and da-da-da-da.
Yep.
It is the film that launched the career of Gore Verbinski.
Oh.
The man who would go on to do Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yep.
Those kind of films. Mm-hmm. And now just had Cure for Wellness, which we missed, but didn't get a huge matter of support, like a $120 million horror film. Okay. Thriller. It's The Ring.
Ah, yes.
Based on Ringu from Japan.
Yeah, I actually am pretty on board with this one.
Okay.
Yeah, I liked The Ring. I didn't want to watch it, then somehow obviously to go see it. I'm like, that's pretty good.
My second Naomi Watts film, and it did everything better than
really?
The Japanese film. The Japanese film I saw at the theater.
Wow.
With friend Brett.
Wow.
And apart from its end scene, which was harrowingly memorable.
Yeah.
Everything else about the American film is way, way better.
Ah.
It's more coherent, has better scares. It just comes together as a much better film. Obviously, it's hard to compare performances. It's not fair to compare Japanese
foreign
actors
language,
with.
Yeah.
So let's just do away with that. But it seemed like
much
bigger budget, much more glossy.
Yeah.
Good English there. Wonderful film.
Cool.
Ending. And it didn't bitch out. That's what I was expecting for on the whole.
Can you remind me how this ended?
The film ends with the vengeful spirit Sadako basically crawling out of the TV set. We finally get to see how these people are dying because they watch a video,
yep,
a curse video, and they die. I can't remember if it's two or three days later.
Yeah.
And then you see how. And so the main character's ex-husband has watched it, and he's near the TV, and it crawls. The spirit crawls out of the TV.
Yeah, I remember
it
being actually
two
really,
to
really
3D
hairish.
Effect. Not 3D really, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he dies of fright.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Because I remember that. I remember it being really creepy when the girl did come out. Yeah. Like, oh, shit.
And it's Martin Henderson in the remake. So, yeah, he dies as well.
Ah, okay.
So, it didn't bitch out. Then we had the vastly inferior, horrendous sequel. But let's not talk about that. Mm. This film is a masterpiece of American horror cinema.
That's huge.
It was based on a Japanese film.
Okay.
Mm.
Very nice. All right. Well, you know my number two is The Departed. So now we're back to your number one.
Which has got to be your number one.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. We both have to have the same number one. Let's just say it together. 1, 2, 3.
True Lies.
Of course. Yeah. Original version is La Totale, which is a French movie. And, fuck.
Most people didn't realize this was a remake.
I didn't when I saw it.
I thought it was an original property as well.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, 1991 French film, this film blows it out of the water.
Yeah, totally. James Cameron,
I haven't
man.
Seen it. I'm just going on what I've read review-wise and the like that, yeah, James Cameron absolutely elevated it, and Arnold Schwarzenegger at the top of his game. Like the early 90s, late 80s, Schwarzenegger is just
no
action stars ever coming close.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. That is the shit. He had the lines. He had all the, you know, he was still beefcake, whatever. Everything. I think when it started going south with him was that Eraser one.
Yeah, you're right.
Eraser, and then we had
End of Days. And
I didn't mind End of Days. But
it was still pretty shit by comparison.
Yeah, it was. That's when it started going south. But here, this is right in the middle of the sweet spot, man. Yeah. And you
probably back end of the sweet spot.
Perhaps, but like in the best possible way. Like now I took him seriously as a movie star, you know?
Yeah.
And yes, we talked about the Bill Paxton bit. That's awesome.
Yeah, of course. We talked about this film like 3 weeks back.
Oh, God. We talk about it all the time. Eliza Dushku in her first role as the kid, his daughter.
Jamie Lee Curtis
looking
perfect,
fantastic.
Frumpy wife that then turns into
one scene turns into hotness.
Tia Carrere, who's not a great actor, let's be fair, but is just owned the bad girl role.
Yeah.
And yeah, look, it's politically incorrect and all the rest of it now, but even
is it?
Not the bad girl role, but I mean the bad guys are.
Oh, Iran, oh, like your Middle Eastern and so on.
Yes, and they're incompetent buffoons. And
ah, that's a good point. You couldn't make this movie now, could you?
No.
Yes, you really could not. Yeah, shit. Oh, didn't think about that.
We've run out of batteries.
Yes, that's right.
To get a new one.
He was awesome, by the way.
He was a great actor. Art Malik.
Totally.
Even the end scene, which probably now, 23 years later, the end scene with the F-18 or whatever it is hovering around. You can probably see the green screen. Up the way, but you, back then it was like,
no, dude,
damn.
No. When the F-18 or whatever, like they got fired on by a heatseeker, and it does the, you know, it maneuvers a way around it. In that frame, it looked amazing, and we were like, holy crap! And I believe it was actually practical. That was actually a plane hanging from a crane, which they made do that.
Even the slightly earlier scene where they're going across the keys and they blow out a bridge and Jamie Lee Curtis,
that's
is
all
hanging
real,
on,
practical,
it's all real, and she's harnessed in and they CG'd out the That's pretty impressive.
No, this is
what an amazing
movie. Awesome movie. Awesome movie.
As we said, we can't speak more highly of
Arnie. Will always be one of our favorites.
Yeah. All right, that's it.
Yeah.
What a number one to finish on. No arguments there at all.
Any honorable mentions for you?
None.
None?
None at all? Fuck that.
I actually had two and I just couldn't.
Holy shit.
Yeah, no. One was Three Men and a Baby, man.
Okay.
Okay.
I almost spat my drink
out. Okay, he did almost. Now.
Because one, shit film. Two.
Wait.
Two. Justin from So I Married a Movie Geek podcast put this down as his choice. And he's like, Paul will hate it, but Wayne, find it in your heart to include it.
Oh, it's here, man. I didn't even see that. And it's for real.
Didn't quite.
It's almost there, but it's right here, man. No, this is a good.
So there's there you are, Justin.
When this came out, I remember being very happy with this movie. I
were
a
fucking 12.
1987. I know, but you know, it had to be good on some level. And also, Quick Change is a Bill Murray movie where he's a clown that robs a bank. And
what was that based on?
It was based on a French comedy called Hold Up, 1985 comedy.
Okay.
But yeah, that was a cool one. And I actually did put Reservoir Dogs down here because I heard that, but I wasn't going to include it because I didn't know what the deal was.
Can't argue with you there. All right then. Well, in keeping with the new structure of the show then, let's now have a little bit of what we call...
The Recount.
Who wants a recount?
Who?
Who wants a recount?
Who
wants a recount?
Who
wants a recount?
All right, then, we're going to begin with the contributions to this week's lists, starting with Mackenzie Lambert, Best of American Remakes, The Departed, 12 Monkeys, and arguably, he said, The Magnificent Seven. So all of those on my list and two of the three on yours. Interesting contribution from Shaken Not Nerd podcast.
Yeah.
I honestly can't think of anything. What about you guys?
Yeah. Okay, good. So other people had trouble.
I did struggle. From Shonuff John, one of the hosts of the Now in Technicolor podcast, The Birdcage, Scent of a Woman, and an old film, Some Like It Hot.
Ah, yes, I remember. Mm-hmm. You know, The Birdcage was good. It was, I remember.
I thought that might be on the list.
Yeah, I did think about it, actually, yeah.
More Gooder Than podcast, one of the great members of the Movie Pod Squad podcast, along with Shonuff John. Not even a contest, said Chris from that show. True Lies from France's La Totale.
Yep, totally.
We obviously couldn't agree more. Another member of the Movie Pod Squad, Dave from the Super Movie Brothers podcast. The Departed, Scent of a Woman, 12 Monkeys, The Magnificent Seven Original, and Let Me In, which is for my co-host Jay.
Yeah, there's really a top three here, a universal top three here.
Does seem to be the case, doesn't it? From the Nick and Vince's podcast, we say the best American remake is Last Man Standing, a remake of Yojimbo from
Japan. Now, we're talking about the Bruce Willis movie here, yes?
Yeah, and I did consider it, but then I was like, I can't remember it well enough.
No, the problem with that movie was it should have been so cool.
We had a high expectation.
We had massive...
Walter Hill.
Right.
Yeah.
And it just...
And Bruce Willis just after Die Hard.
That's right. And we were thinking, this can't miss. Nah. And then, nah, exactly.
No, and that's, if I watched it again now, I might like it a lot more.
It wasn't horrible, but we, like you said, we just thought it was going to be so awesome.
From Matt, pick 310 to Yuma, but 310 to Yuma is an American remake, so wouldn't count. Scent of a Woman and The Departed. From Scheitgeist, how about Abre los Ojos, remade into Vanilla Sky?
Yeah,
12 Monkeys, aka La Jete.
Yeah, I'm on both those trains.
Okay. Christian Steele, great friend, good contributor to the show. Number 5, The Assassin. 4, Fistful of Dollars. 3, The Departed. 2, The Magnificent Seven from 1960. And again, number 1, True Lies.
Now, The Assassin.
Point of No Return?
Yeah, well, Point of No Return in America, exactly.
In Australia.
In Australia, yep. No, The Assassin here and it's Point of No Return in
the
States.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Right.
I wanted to do that, but there's no way La Femme Nikita isn't better than the Bridget Fonda one, right?
Yeah, but so, maybe Christian disagrees.
Yeah, you know.
From Shampoo, one of the hosts of the, the Beers, Buds and Brutality podcast, 3B Horror Pod. While it's not technically a remake, the Hunger Games is totally Battle Royale.
Oh, yeah. Reservoir Dog Syndrome.
Yes. Comic Confidential, they'll be on most lists, but The Ring, True Lies, The Departed, and albeit a contentious one, Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, yeah, there
it is. Thank you for that. Troy, The Monster Closet, Finch's The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo is actually better than the Swedish original.
I actually agree with that. I do agree with that.
Thought it would be on your list, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I didn't like either of them that much, so no, but I.
Nick Spinarski gave us his 10, City of Angels, a very guilty pleasure.
What?
9, Vanilla Sky. 8, Brothers. 7, Reservoir Dogs. Only that low because
everyone's on
really
there.
Consider it a remake, and that's oddly enough where, yeah. No, I had it at 8, but close enough. 6, The Ring. 5, Sense of Woman. 4, The Birdcage. 3, The Departed. 2, True Lies. And number 1, Some Like It Hot.
Wow.
Which he says one of the greatest comedies of all time.
I need to watch that shit again.
FIFC Studios, Fear from that show, 3 Fugitives, The Departed, The Grudge, The Ring, Old Boy, and Let Me In.
No, this person liked the American Old Boy more.
Yeah. Wow. So that's brave. That's okay, very, very brave. From Bridget Von LaRue, The Ring. That's it.
That's it. Okay.
Like that one.
Sure.
In Session Film, Let Me In is a big one for me. I also really like Steven Soderbergh's take on Solaris.
Mm. What? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I watched kind of some of that, and then you guys warned me off it. You said, this is business.
Not for me, but I do appreciate
you dig
others.
It?
No, not for me.
Oh, you don't like it?
No,
okay,
I didn't
cool.
enjoy it. Jennifer Hicks, super fan.
Hey, Jen.
Great contributor to the show. I'll go with Cruel Intentions. There you go. She
yep, went. Yep, yep.
Awesome. And The Birdcage, both based on French films.
Nice.
And lastly, from Mark James at the Poop Culture Podcast, The Departed, The Magnificent Seven, Let Me In, Funny Games, and Death at a Funeral. So a different one.
Yeah,
there.
Okay. No yeah. problem.
Thanks to everyone else who got back as well. That's for this week's list. Now, let's go back to a couple of the previous weeks and what people have had to say about that.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to mention Movies from A to B, who wrote in with their top 10 sports films.
Yeah.
Just the one of those today. Number 10, Caddyshack. 9, Tin Cup.
Yep.
8, Rocky. 7, Slapshot. 6, Major League. 5, Hoosiers. 4, Remember the Titans.
Yeah.
3, The Legend of Bagger Vance. There you go. We hadn't seen that. We were,
yeah.
2, Field of Dreams. And number 1, Friday Night Lights.
There. Field of Dreams is
at
high
two.
Up. Good.
Yeah, which you had very high on your list from recollection as well. Fans on Patrol actually wanted to weigh in there. Montego from that show, Great Pod and Family podcast, wanted to say, I totally agree with Wayne. Any Given Sunday may be my top 3 worst films of all
It's a bag
time.
Of ass, man. It's a surprising bag of ass, too. Yeah.
Ah, shit.
Oliver Stone.
From Bill's Beer Report, who said they're doing a top 10 of 92 for their next minisode on their podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And theirs includes A Few Good Men, White Men Can't Jump, Aladdin, Mighty Ducks, Reservoir Dogs, and A League of Their Own.
Mm.
So that was in answer to our episode we did with the Epic Film Guys a couple of weeks
back. Oh, yeah, yeah, cool.
Yeah. And on that same note, Earth 919 podcast said Batman Returns was by far the best film of 1992.
Yep, hard to argue.
Dan Vadiboncur, one of the hosts of the Media Nerds podcast, regular contributor, good friend to the show. Wayne's World was a life-changing film for 16-year-old me. We did that Grey Poupon gag for weeks after. And although I didn't see it that year, Army of Darkness is one of my all-time faves. So there you go. A pretty good year.
I like it too.
Twisted Philly, Dina from that show. Dracula, My Cousin Vinny. Ah, Dracula, suck it, Wayne. My Cousin Vinny, Malcolm X, Single White Female, Army of Darkness, and Sigh, Like Water for Chocolate. Her favorite films. And her honorable mention was Strictly Ballroom from Your Homeland. I'm in love with that movie.
Strictly ball tearing. Yeah.
Mark Woodyatt, one of the hosts of the Skip to the End podcast, weighed in with Reservoir Dogs and Unforgiven as the best 2 films of that year.
Mm.
And said that they also do a Skip Back in Time segment where they talked about 1992.
Nice.
Patrick Sherwood, one of the great contributors to the Epic Film Guys, had his best and worst of 92 submitted on Facebook. The worst of 92, Cool World, 3 Ninjas, More Money. Awful film.
It was a
Stop on Mumble Shoot, number 1, Toys, The Best of 92, Malcolm X, Batman Returns, A Few Good Men, Unforgiven, and Reservoir Dogs.
Okay.
Thanks for that, Patrick.
Solid.
And the very last bit of feedback today comes from a good friend to us both, regular listener to the show, maybe first time contributor, Richard.
Really?
Over in the UK.
Oh, okay.
Feedback for The Best of 1992. Wayne, can you remember why we had to sit through The Lawnmower Man at the cinema?
I can't.
Because you were late getting to Basic Instinct and we got sprung going in.
This was that day? Oh, man. I'm so sorry about that.
And if he says I gave him the wrong time, bollocks.
That totally happened. You gave me the wrong time, you piece of shit. Or I would have been there on time. Like, I wouldn't have been on time for Sharon Stone's Tay-Tays.
Can you also recall how we used to have to arrange our social engagements on WAT time, Wayne adjusted time?
Hey, oh, man. I can't believe this motherfucker's bringing it up. Yo, Rich, eat a dick, man.
Lawnmower Man was on at the same time as Basic Instinct, so he got tickets for that and tried to sneak in.
Yeah, and, you know, if you give me the right time, we've been fine.
Thanks for that, Richard. All right, that's the end of this week's newly formatted recount. We hope you enjoy the shout-outs at the end of the episode. Wayne, if people want to get in touch and feature on next week's recount, how can they do that?
Well, they should go to Sir Facebook and search for us. The Countdown Movie and TV Reviews, find us there, or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We are on Twitter at TheCountdownPC. We are on Podomatic, where you can like individual episodes and follow us there on pretty much every podcatching app, but most importantly, iTunes. Please leave ratings, reviews, and subscribe, and, you know, tell a friend.
Sure, tell a friend, sure. Yeah,
every week that we get a new listener is another little star that twinkles in the sky.
And every time a listener leaves, both of us cry ourselves to sleep.
While stars die. All right, Wayne, as a very final part of today's episode 105, what are we doing for episodes 106 and 107?
Hang on and I'll check.
Dynamite drop-in money and broadcast school has really paid off.
Ah, shit. Okay. Well, next week we are going to do a Lego Batman review, which means my ass will probably have to go out and check out the Lego movie, the original
That's correct.
Okay, and then we're going to do the top 10 what?
Animated films of all time. An oft-requested show, which Wayne has been dragging his heels on because he says, I don't like animation.
I don't really watch them, man. I mean, shit, I've seen a few, but damn, all right.
I'll tell you who does watch them. The animation expert.
Oh, yeah.
Alejandro.
Yeah, drop it in, man. Drop it in.
Next week to help us count this down. I've been watching his Letterboxd activity. He's been watching nothing but animated films.
Oh, shit. I best get
on
that.
The last couple of weeks. So he's going to bring his A game. You need to do the same.
All right. Okay, it's going to be a busy week, folks.
And I think you're also going to be reviewing Chips, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah! Stay tuned for that one, folks. You're going to love that.
Wayne has decided to take that one for the team. I'm unavailable, so he's...
I should mention, I haven't seen it yet. I just know what I'm expecting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the week after that, we are switching our focus to television.
Yeah,
for the first time in quite some time, we're going to welcome on Joe from the Quote Unquote Guilty podcast, who's going to help us count down the 10 best single episodes of TV of all time.
That's pretty huge, man.
It's massive.
Right? Because it could be any show, anything, just the best shot, the best episode, the best 30 minutes or 1 hour, whatever.
It's going to be tough as all hell, but Joe reckons it's doable, so we're going to give it a bash.
Sweet.
That's episodes 106 and 107 of The Countdown. That's all we've got time for today.
Thank you very much for listening to us once again, folks. Until next week, my name is Wayne.
My name is Paul.
We'll see you real soon.
And this has been The Soundboard.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-face, dickhead, asshole.
I remember this one, yeah. Otto from A Fish Called Wanda. That shit is gold. All right, you can keep it.
We'll see you next week.
Yeah.
On the back of that, we thought, well, what's a nice thematically linked countdown? And we landed on top 10. You love that. Say it again.
Manga actually means cartoon, the literal translation of the word.
Okay.
So it actually can kind of be both.
Okay. Right, I've seen both.
And then hentai is the porn version of animation. So it's like, it's a bunch of different.
How would you know that, Wayne?
Well, you see.
So the film ends with Sudoku. So yeah, that, the chick, the girl,
Naomi Watts.
Beginning the recount this week with a contribution that I don't have on my phone yet.
I see. You take your time though.
Is it possible for you to shut the fuck up for 10 seconds?